It's really wonderful to be here. I actually just moved to Boston a year ago from the Bronx, where I'd lived for 12 years, I'm practicing at an institution called Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, which is a lovely challenge for all of us. So I want you to know I have no financial relationships with a commercial entity. Please remember your smartphones are probably on record mode during this presentation, whether you think they're turned on or off. I want to start out with a concept called alta alegremia, high blood happiness. I want to start out that way, and if possible, in that way, because we're going to go on a bit of a dark journey in between. This is a session from the People's Health Movement, the last Global People's Health Movement session in South African Cape Town. It's you can see, do people look happy here? They're laughing because they're learning. They're learning about food sovereignty in a very lovely way. And the person leading it is named Matt Anderson, and he's the editor of a social medicine journal. And there's the latest journal of social medicine. It's honoring Dr. Victor Seidel. It's an open access journal in Spanish and English. So if either of those languages, you know, turn your own, or social justice does, please go look. And it's an inspiring life, Dr. Seidel's. I'm still associated with Montefiore Medical Center in adjunct status. So I want you to think to yourselves, what is my personal commitment to health promotion, research that puts people before profit, social justice? I'm going to start speaking quicker, even though I'm from Georgia, and to human dignity. What might lead me to use my training in research and healing individuals' communities to purposes that are blind or opposed to human dignity and social justice? This is not exactly a workshop, but I'd like for you to kind of put yourself in that mode. How can I prevent this from happening? All right, this is a five-faced pumpkin. So, the Taliban, these are all busy slides. Don't feel like you have to read all of them. I just want to be sure that you're informed and outraged if that's where you come from. I was looking around to see if there was anybody overtly in uniform. They usually are for our sessions. I'm disappointed to see that there aren't. They usually have some of the best questions afterwards. So, if any of you could be in uniform, just know that I love you and I'm glad you're here. Two people were killed and, you know, 20 injured after the Taliban put a bomb up trying to kill people, you know, trying to eradicate polio. Why would they do that? Let's hear some shout outs. Why would they do that? Because they're mean people, because they hate children. They think they're covert spies. And thank you so much for saying that. Now, why would they think they're covert spies? Why would that even occur to them? I know they're imaginative people. We all are imaginative, and we all do love our children. There is a song called I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too. The CIA organized a fake vaccination campaign program to try to catch Osama. You all know this, right? If you don't know this, please know this. But realize the impact this is globally. Realize what we've done and what we continue to do, and I'll show you what I mean by continue to do. So there was this, you know, doctor named Shaka Lafridi, and he's been arrested now, we'll get to a little bit more to the United States stance on his being arrested. They started out in a poorer part of town to make it look more authentic. So what did this doctor do? You know that DNA can be used to identify people. I put in here a link for any of you who do primary care. There's a new program, in fact, it's my next slide, where if you have immigrant patients who want to bring in their kin, they often have to prove that they are related by DNA. This has caused many of my male patients some distress as they find out that children they've been supporting for decades are not their children biologically. And is it all a biological thing anyway? But we could have just offered Osama bin Laden the opportunity to do this DNA thing. Health visitors in the area were among the few people who gained access to the bin Laden compound in the past, administering polio drops to some of the children. Yes, he loved his children too. This is just the link here if any of you need to know more about DNA testing. So in March, health workers administered the vaccine in a poor neighborhood. Hepatitis B is what they chose. Now, I'm curious. There's a lot I haven't seen about this. But how many people here actually hepatitis B is part of your practice? Yeah. And you've had it, right? Most of us have had it, actually, if we're in the health field. Unless you live in England, but that's a different story. It's my only beef with that system. The hepatitis B vaccine is usually given. How many doses? Three. Okay, so he went to the poor neighborhood, this doctor, with a lot of people that he paid, and they give one dose. And then what does he do? He goes to a rich neighborhood near where they think bin Laden might be holed up. First of all, was that hepatitis B vaccine that they gave to who knows how many poor children? Okay, this I don't see this coming out. Second of all, what about the other two doses of the vaccine? Do the children think they're vaccinated? Does anybody here have patients from the East who have hepatitis B and didn't know it? I have a lot of them, right? I keep looking. The more you look, the more you find. Anyway, so, and it's not known, you know, exactly what he was planning on doing. Anyway, so there's Chomsky. No Chomsky. So part of this is you're in Boston, so let's talk about the Bostonians, right? He says the Boston bombings gave Americans a taste of terrorism the U.S. inflicts abroad every day, says Mr. Professor Chomsky. And he quotes Leslie Roberts. We'll get to him again in a minute, who estimated that the false vaccine program used by the CIA in Pakistan may cause as many as 100,000 global cases of polio. There's a Scientific American article about this. And of course, it was in a movie called Zero Dark Thirty. Many people, when I first mentioned this, said, oh, that's just in the movie. Well, it was in the movie, but it wasn't just in the movie. It's the real thing. We really did this. So, look. Now, last year, we were winning the fight against polio, and now we're not. There are more cases this year than there were last year. Already 296 cases, 43 were in Pakistan, and accusations that immunization campaigns cover for spies were given credence. You bet they were. So, there's a Scientific American article. I commend it to you. And so just so you don't think that the United States government is silent on this issue, the former CIA director, Leon Panetta, has come out in support of the jailed Pakistani doctor that he paid to do this reprehensible act. And so I'm just going to connect the dots for you and say that everyone in this room who is a healthcare provider or a public health provider is, with this connection, being invited to go against your principles of the Hippocratic Oath, if you took it, to go against any principles of healing that you have, and to use your skills to aid the fight against terrorism, which is anybody that the United States doesn't like, never mind how they do it or what they do, and I'm not saying that those are good actions. I don't know if you agree with my connecting the dots, but I think that a lot of people around the world are connecting the dots in that way. So, I should have been a pair of ragged claws, scuttling across dark seas. Can anybody, but Mr. Panetta is in good company. Can anybody read this? Okay. Well, it's really good handwriting, though. Let me see if I can read it. You would do well to try to inoculate the Indians by means of blankets, as well as to try every other method that can serve to extirpate this execrable race. I should be very glad your scheme for hunting them down by dogs could take... Who is this? Shout it out. Amherst, Lord Smallpox. So Amherst, infected blankets, or took blankets infected with smallpox, gave them to the Indians. So our current defense director is, you know, got historical precedent. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, but I just want you to know that that same machine is taking the Spanish flu and bringing it back. Now, I know many of you supplement your medical and public health education with multimedia. So who is this young lady here, and what did she die from? She died of Spanish flu. That's right. This I know it hits all of your hearts. This is a heartthrob thing for y'all. So a resuscitation of the Spanish flu is neither necessary nor warranted from a public health point of view. I hope you and Lavinia will agree. All right, let's change direction. Let's go with the police. So, last week, federal immigration officials took into custody dozens of undocumented workers from Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, and Ukraine at the Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in Goldsboro, North Carolina. How did they lure them into the trap? None of your business. Now, this actually didn't happen last week. This happened in the year 2005. But I do want you to know how it happened. Basically, can you read this middle part here? There was an OSHA. You know what OSHA means? I believe you do. Some of you may work there. An OSHA invitation, or at least in the name of OSHA, telling people that they were required to come and attend a safety briefing at the base theater, and they promised, if anybody promises you these, be careful. Free coffee and donuts. Anyway, they rounded them up. All right. Now, the American Public Health Association, I'm very proud to say, did not take this, sitting down. And it hasn't happened a lot since. We made policy number 2005-4. We noted that Hispanic workers especially have worse outcomes, and that basically they die. They die more than the average immigrants, and immigrants die more than average workers on the job. So I do want you to feel proud of being part of the APHA and to encourage this sort of activism on the part of our organization. This just reminds me of my favorite revolutionary healer. She's named Alice Walker, who's from Eatonton, Georgia. She has one book of poetry called Horses Make a Landscape Look More Beautiful. Where we live, work, study, and play. That's right, there's a lot of talk about this. And what I'm talking about today is how we as public health and clinical people can affect how people work, live, study, and play, ourselves and others, and affect it in a bad and a good way. I want to look at immigrant advocacy groups calling for greater accountability, because there was a little time when, in order to get people over the border quietly, ICE was given slipping people Mickeys. Did y'all know about this? And also remember, this is about Boston, so you're all in Boston, so I want you to know about MIRA. MIRA, the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition. Just know about them. They say we understand that ICE has had a difficult job to do. All right. Now, isn't it interesting that two of the authors of this paper, I had no idea they would be here. Would you just raise your hands? Two of the authors, just do it, okay? How many times do you see people who work in corrections overtly put it right out there that human rights should be part of their job? Yeah, they were trained at Montefiore Medical Center, and I did get to work with them, and I learned a lot with them. So read this article, please, everybody in the room, and be sure that your local sheriff has a copy. Now's a good time for some more poetry. They came first for the communists. They didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. By the way, where is this found? Where can y'all find it? That's right. This is the Holocaust Memorial here in Boston. Then they came for the Jews. I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists. I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then came for the Catholics. I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me. And by that time, no one was left to speak up. And that's why I do this. All right? Just so you know, in Boston, health inequities refer to health disparities, right? It happens that in Boston, black babies are 3 times more likely to die within the first year of life than white babies. This is an inequity because it's avoidable, unfair, and unjust. So let's go to another inequity. Is there anybody in the room that was at this protest? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Anyway, so this is an APHA protest. And what are they protesting? Can anybody read that? Could you shout it out just to try for some participation? Hospital deportations. Has everybody heard of these? So this is all news. So this is a place where APHA has not been effective in stopping things. I bring to you a couple of articles. This one from the Huffington Post. These two guys were in a car accident, right? They were insured, actually. But the hospital realized that their insurance might not pay for that, you know, pesky thing called rehabilitation. And so it quietly slipped a few bucks to somebody who said they were related to them, put them unconscious into a plane, and they wound up in Mexico. And guess what? They're not doing too well. They never got that rehabilitation. The insurance, of course, you know, didn't. And the hospital got off. Here they are. Is the hospital in jail? Is the administrator in jail? They should be. I think they should be, but anyway. And any of y'all who work in hospitals, I would say, see if your hospital does that. And if they do, tell them to stop, or tell them what you will do with them. So there's the People's Health Movement again. Now, whatever movement you're part of, just please be part of a group. It's so much more fun. But this is the People's Health Movement. This is at a meeting, the last big meeting before the one in South Africa. This one was in Ecuador. No alegría, si a la salud. Now, this war was talking about this one in Iraq. And I just want you to remember how many excess deaths there were in this war. We just don't think about it anymore. Or maybe y'all think about it every day, but anyway, I want you to know Les Roberts, again, same name. And so he gets my Steve Biko Award. The greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And if you don't know who Steve Biko is, please look him up. Find out what happened to him. If you teach any courses in social justice or ethics, even the most, kind of bland course in ethics, you can use what happened to him. It's published in the British Medical Journal in an ethics class review. So we're almost done here, but I want you to think about any of you who have... Does anyone work with patients clinically or with communities? Everybody, do you? Okay, anybody work with communities anybody work with communities... Latin American communities. So you know that in 2011, big news came over the radios, right, and the programs, all sort of things. This says, you couldn't say anything. Ordenes eran ordenes. Se llama Federico Ramos, and he's one of the survivors. So what am I talking about here? I don't want to let this rest. Really, I don't. So that did get some press a little bit. Lapses. What does that mean exactly, lapses? Lapses by American leaders seen in syphilis tests, right? So that's from the New York Times. The highest medical and legal officials of the American government and experts at Harvard, I don't think I'm an expert, but I am at Harvard at this point, and other top medical schools approved venereal disease experiments. What did we do? It was a gross violation of ethics. You bet it was. Even by those standards, those days, it was. So what happened, this guy, a young doctor, relatively young, basically infected men with syphilis and gonorrhea. And somebody found his papers. Who was that? I don't know her. If anybody finds her, please give her a hug and say, some doctor said to give you a hug today, Susan Reverby. What a wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's not a medical historian. That is a medical historian, activist, amazing, wonderful person, please. And she's here, right? She's here. And this was not just about Guatemala. This was also about jail in Tirajalt. So what happened? 700 Guatemalans, they were infected. We basically, our tax dollars paid for the Guatemalan government to kindly let them sleep with sex workers, prostitutes, and those prostitutes were infected. Now, nobody, again, these are things. Nobody says, how were they infected? How were those sex workers infected with syphilis? We don't know. Or other diseases. Anyway, and when the prostitutes did not succeed in infecting the men, think about that, some prisoners had the bacteria report on scrapes made on their penises, faces, or arms, or it was injected by spinal puncture. So there's a guy named Mark Siegler, and he said, this is shocking. This is worse than Tuskegee. At least these men were infected. I don't think this is worse than Tuskegee. I don't think anything is worse than Tuskegee, really. And I want us to remember Tuskegee and the impact that has every time we ask someone to take a flu, get themselves flu vaccinated, and other reasons. But at the same time, the United States was prosecuting the Nazis, and at the same time as he was saying this, President Obama was apologizing to the President of Guatemala for this and doing the campaign with the hepatitis B vaccine. I have like three more slides. I commend this book to you, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. If you haven't read it, just go read it. If you have anything to do with healthcare, period, just go read it. It's fantastic, and it talks about research. We're ending up here with Alta la Gremia. That's Julio Monsalvo. He's from Argentina. He's part of the People's Health Movement. But I also want you to remember, whatever group you're part of, whatever they claim to be, whether it's revolutionary or some other, if I can't dance, I don't want your revolution, said Emma Goldman. And so I hope that today has provided, amongst other things, a vaccination of hope. Thank you.